Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Can you hear me?
This is Psychic Kickstart. I'm Allison Quinn Barrett.
Hi everyone, this is our second show, and I'm calling these the beta shows because we're trying to figure out all the technical stuff. I'm usually pretty good at this, and I've done a few Blog Talk Radio shows, but for some reason, we're having a hard time getting our equilibrium on this, and I'm getting a lot of feedback. So, Jamie, can you hear that?
I don't hear any feedback at all.
Okay. All right, well, we're picking up a lot of background stuff, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. Okay, so here's where we're at. Episode 2, the beta version, we're going to talk about abundance. I'm calling this Abundance Part 1 because this is a topic I can talk a lot about, and I'm probably going to do a separate podcast all about abundance and do a whole series of shows about abundance because it's not just about money. It's about calling into whatever is the desire of your heart. So, like I said, this is one of my favorite topics, and I've been very fortunate in my life. Manifesting has always come pretty easy for me in my career and in many respects of my personal life, but we all have these moments where we feel a paradigm shift in our life, and then we have to go back and reconnect with the basics of creating and manifesting abundance again in our lives. And so it's always good, no matter where we're at, and even if you think you already are already abundant, there's areas in which you could probably work upon and improve to be more abundant. So, okay. So I prepared, about 8 different tips and ideas that I think will help connect all of us to our I say to a lot of my clients when I'm working with them, thank you, Mike, Windows 10, that's announcements from Windows 10, is I always ask clients, do you have a regular spiritual routine? Do you have a meditation practice? You know, our energy is often affected by our external experience and what we call to us. So meditation helps us move from our mind to our heart, and it's in our heart where our true power source resides. So it's really important that we have some type of spiritual routine. So I know there's a lot of people who just think they don't like to meditate. And to those people, I would say, well, have you given it enough time? There's many, many different ways to meditate. And, you know, you don't need to go spend a lot of money to do that. You don't need to go to a class for 2 hours. You can get on YouTube and find some really great guided meditations that you can do in the privacy of your own home. But I would say that for me, connecting to source through meditation, through prayer, I tend to get up in the morning and have a personal prayer and then followed by meditation. And then I even add another, 5-10 minutes on to focus specifically on visual meditation. Visual meditation to me is really focusing in what it is that I want, whether it's a career initiative, whether it's a personal initiative, and painting as big of a visual picture in my mind of what that can look like. And then turning it over to the universe and saying, you know, whatever is best for me, whatever is best for my needs, bring it to me. Because we don't want to put too many stipulations on what that picture looks like. If we're telling the universe that, let's say, for instance, if you're looking for a boyfriend, girlfriend, and you have very specific requirements about height and weight and color of their eyes and stuff, it's not that those things can't come to you. It just may not be what's best for you. And so the meditation really should start with the source of what you're calling on what's best for you. So also, I would say that it's important that you sit in silence and stillness And, you know, for at least 5 minutes a day, longer is better, but start where you can. And then if you can't do some of these visualizations, you really need to focus on feeling of love. And the energy of love is the energy of creation manifesting in abundance. So even if that's all you can do is focus on the breath in, breath out, and love, and literally thinking of the word love, that's a great starting place. The where you get to a deeper part of meditation is when you are finding the stillness between the space between the words and the thoughts. And that is really where real inspiration, intuition can come in. But that's probably a step for another day. So main thing is, in this point, is meditate daily and, you know, create that kind of that sacred spiritual routine. Okay. So the next thing we want to do is we want to acknowledge any fears we have around what it is that we're trying to create. And as you've probably heard many, many times, fears block us from what we want. There are many unconscious thoughts. We have lots of unconscious thoughts that we've been conditioned to believe. So common fears and beliefs about money and abundance that it's bad or evil, you know, that gets in the way. And it makes it harder to manifest and create those things. So, you know, if we're caught up in these ideas of what we have to sacrifice, or that we can't get paid for doing what we love, or that any negative thought around what it is you're trying to create, these beliefs will repel the ultimate abundance you're trying to create. So you have to learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. So just recently I saw, and I've seen Steve Harvey talk about this before. This is what I was telling you about Jamie. Jamie is my producer who's here with me.
Hello.
So what he talked about is that when you, if you want something in your life, he uses the term jump. I use the term motion. You got to be in motion for it to find you or for you to see it. But I love this video, and you can look it up, you know, Steve Harvey's jump and stuff. And I think he does a great service, and I really like him a lot, his talk show and other teachings he has. He was on Oprah's, I guess, masterclass not too long ago, and talking about this idea that if you don't make a move to what it is you want, if you don't take that leap of faith, you're never going to receive it. It's not going to fall in your lap. Very, very rarely does that happen. And so for most of us, we have to make that move. We have to jump toward it. And then I'm just paraphrasing really quickly because, you know, he goes on for quite a bit in this. The problem is that even once you take that leap of faith when you jump, is that your parachute's not going to open right away. And so you may hit a few rocks along the way. You may hit along the sides of a cliff. You know, who knows what's going to happen. But eventually, if you trust, whether you call it God, source, universe, and your ability to create and manifest, you are going to bring to you what it is that is, you know, the deep desire of your heart. So you have to trust. You have to trust in your ability. And I think that if you look to times in your life where things were difficult and you made it through, and maybe I can say for me personally, every time I've been in a place where it felt difficult or uncomfortable, if I just trusted in the process that I got more than I had, and it was better than what I could have pictured for myself, even though I was actively picturing the feelings around whatever it was I was trying to manifest through that visualization. So feeling is really important, that being comfortable with being uncomfortable and just be willing to go through it and surrender to that. You know, I have a lot of clients who suffer from anxiety, panic attacks, things like that, which is very common nowadays in our society. We have a lot of, you know, it's a lot of chaos, a lot of stress going on. And the one thing I tell people who have periodic problems with anxiety is that if you want to avoid a panic attack, the best way to avoid a panic attack is surrender to it when it's happening. Just say, come on, bring it on. When we fight it and we try and control it, we're participating, we're adding fuel to the fire. So it's really about just, you know, releasing it and letting go. And then the other thing I tell people is that a lot of the reasons we have panic attacks is that we have a fear of having a panic attack. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a circular problem we create for ourselves. So, you know, learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, and don't be afraid to take a jump. So, like I said, energy flows where intention goes. We can train our minds to move from fear to peace by practicing awareness of our thoughts, that cognitive behavior. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm having a pretty good day, and today was a good example of that. And I spent time with, you know, people I really enjoy. I went to yoga, did some work. But there are times as I'm going through these shifts in my life that I just feel this kind of dull kind of malaise of some sort. And what I've learned to do over the years is I'm like, I stop myself, take 5 minutes, go inward, try and figure out where is this coming from and why I'm feeling. And I can't do that if I'm badgering myself. I have to go to a place of stillness and let my intuition kind of help guide me to what's going on. And usually it's because I'm in fear, or I'm trying to control something, or I want something to happen faster than it's ready to happen. So whenever I go to that awareness and come back to these basics that we're talking about now, it dissipates. When I surrender to it, it dissipates. Okay. The next step is know your worth. You know, our world that we live in tells us we're unworthy in so many different ways. I mean, you just have to turn on a TV show, watch the commercials, reality TV. This is why these are the beta episodes. I'm still getting over my strained vocal cords and my cough.
Allison, we have a call.
Okay. I'm going to get through this, and I will take them in just a minute. So callers, hold on.
Perfect.
And we're going to get to you as soon as we can. All right. So anyway, when we believe we don't deserve what we desire, we block it. Okay. So we can be our own worst enemy. If we feel guilty for what we have, we're blocking ourselves from receiving more. So we want to be able to retain and receive as much as we want. And these negative self-perceptions block the natural flow. So recognize the thoughts that that feed our lack of self-worth, and have a willingness to see things differently. Okay, the next point is be in service. And this is a big one for me, and this is something that I've been trying to do more of in my life. For a long time, when my son was in school, I felt like I never had time. And so it was easy to, you know, I always thought of everything I was doing as, you know, my son's, you know, college fund, or my son, you know, everything was focused on him and what his needs were, and our family needs too. But now I realize that one of the things we can get ourselves tripped up on is that when we focus on getting rather than giving, we block ourselves. It's all really about giving first. We still receive, but we let it come to us rather than demand it, rather than taking. So the more generous we are, and the more value we add to the world, the more we'll be compensated. The energy of giving and generosity is a powerful agent in creating a flow of abundance of our lives, and through ways that feel effortless because they come from our heart. So I've recently aligned myself with a church community, which I haven't done in a long time. And it's mostly because I want to have opportunities to give, and I want to be in service, because that's important. I know in the past, when I tithed and when I was in service, I received a lot. And so I have a very strong testimony of that type of service. So if you feel helpless, help someone. If you feel like you don't have enough, give to someone. And, you know, giving is receiving. So, all right. The next point is let go. And this means things like relationships, habits, fears, beliefs, even a job with a paycheck. Okay. And that is the hardest leap of faith to make. That's the hardest, you know, jump you would ever have to make, is to leave a cushy job. Now, maybe if the job isn't that great, then maybe it's not so much a belief, but it's still scary. And even if you're in a miserable job, it's still a scary thing to do. And yet, you know, you have a choice to either take that leap of faith or, you know, stay where you are. That's true for a relationship. It's true of a habit, all sorts of things. So sometimes, you know, we have to make that leap to reap the rewards. And when we stay stuck, we're holding on to a false security in things and jobs and relationships. And this limits our capacity to create what we want in the world. So, I mean, marriage is not an easy thing. But if you find your find yourself at a point of diminishing returns, you have to, you know, really go inward and do what's best for you and have the courage to do what's best for you. And the energy around us will shift dramatically as we let go of what's not serving us any longer. If it's not contributing to our growth, it's time to let it go. And I know that's a scary thing to do, and that's something I'm going through right now in the midst of a divorce, so I can speak firsthand to that. So, but as I have surrendered to that process, I'm much happier in my life, and I've come to a realization about things that maybe things weren't I had some limiting beliefs about that marriage was hard, or that marriage, you know, was this or marriage. And every belief I had some negative connotation toward it. And so in that, I was so committed to my commitment that I really forgot I needed to be happy in my commitment too. So let go. And, you know, there's still a lot of a fear and things going on around it, but I generally feel lighter and happier than I have in a long time. And so I'm grateful for that too. Okay, next big one. This is another thing we could do a whole series of podcasts on: forgiveness, especially for yourself. How we operate in one area of your life will affect everything. I love the saying, how we do something is, you know, how we do everything. So that's something I really live by. And so I try and do things in a way so that people know I live in honor and integrity. So, all right. So we need to have a holistic approach when dealing with our finances and our abundance. And if we hold on to anger, resentment, grievances, or grudges, we're blocking our energetic field. So it's really great if we can clear those toxic emotions out and heal the past so we can move forward in a really big way. Okay, so like I said, you begin with self-forgiveness for any past experiences you might be holding on to and judging for yourself. And by doing that, you're going to unhook yourself from the toxic emotions and move forward in a healthy way. So I know it sounds like I'm just kind of saying the same thing over and over again, but I can't really be more clear than the fact that it's really important that forgiveness is for you. And yes, it's good to forgive yourself, but we also have to forgive others so that we're not holding on to these things that block us, okay? All right. Next is find and walk your path. So a lot of times we don't actually know what we want or what our life purpose is. I get this a lot when I'm reading with people and trying to figure out what it is they want to do. And what I find is that most of us really do know what we want to do. We're just afraid to do it. So if you can sit down, one of the techniques I use is I ask people, well, what is it you wanted to do when you were a little girl, a little boy? And try and tap into that younger part of you. Our younger parts of ourselves tend to kind of have an awareness that we don't always have. So when we begin to clear our fear blocks, we're not good enough, or we don't feel worthy, or we're undeserving, and, you know, whatever fears we're holding on to, we have a better chance of discovering, you know, our path or what our life purpose and our mission on this planet. So it's important that all the steps we did before lead into this. And I promise you that if you can really be more aware in this, you can find what it is, what your passion is, and what your purpose is. It's really right in front of you. It's like hidden in plain view. So, and a lot of times what you are supposed to be doing is what you're already naturally doing for free. Many times, an avocation. It can be an occupation with some shifts in thinking, and not always, but sometimes. So, all right. And, excuse me. All right. One last thing on that is, it's really important that what you feel prompted to and what you feel led to, and this goes back to having a spiritual routine, is don't ignore that. A lot of times the universe is tapping us on the shoulder of what we're supposed to do. And when we don't do that, then it becomes bigger, or, you know, we get blocked in so many ways. So whenever you are in your life and you aren't feeling happy and there's something that's pulling you, you have to listen to that, or the discomfort you feel only compounds itself. So, okay. The last point I want to make is about perfection. We need to give up this idea of perfection. I like to believe that we are perfect just as we are. And, you know, we play this waiting game. We need things to be perfect. We need for the perfect job situation to come around. We need the perfect partner to come in. You know, they'll bring a lifestyle that we want. By this happening, everything else will be okay. And these are things that are really crutches that we use as a false sense of security. And our true security comes when we live in accordance with what our deeper and higher desires are. So, you know, self-love is really the baseline of happiness, health, and abundance. And we can create more love and abundance in our life from an internal space of love. And, you know, that's what allows us to kind of tap into, you know, this abundance that we have within us, that's our internal well that we can bring forward into this physical life. So I really like talking about all of these topics. You know, we could do a show just on each one of those, but that's a really quick, down and dirty, kind of like, these are the quick tips. And I think I'm going to take these and probably put them up on my website at some point and put a link down there. So if you want to access them later, you can. So I don't know. Do we have anybody on the line, or did they hang up? Did you?
No, not right now. Not right now.
Okay. All right. So I know, because we're a new show, we don't have quite the following, and we are playing around with the time zone. We decided deliberately to kind of do it late for West Coast listeners. And so, you know, we're going to just hang out here and talk a little bit. And hopefully, if anybody is listening and they want to, you know, call in, let me just give you some ground rules about how I do readings. I was born, as we all are, with this intuitive ability. I just happened to remember at a really young age. And so I do have all the seeing, feeling, hearing, things that come through. But I like to think of myself more as an intuitive teacher than as a, I try not to use the P word, the psychic word, that much, just because I feel like it identifies things in a different way of somebody telling you what to do or guiding you along, when I think really the intention has to be of working with people to come to their own come to their own understanding and their own guidance. So I tend to be very, very compassionate. But if something comes through, I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm not a mind reader, so my readings tend to be more conversational. And if you open up your energy field to me, we'll be able to get through things together. We will work in a truncated reading like this. I generally ask you to ask a kind of, not an overly specific question, but like I said, I'm not one of these psychics who have to sit there and validate everything that you need to hear in order to happen. This is really us connecting together to, you know, to get you what you need in this phone call. Okay, so Jamie?
Yeah, we do have a caller, it looks like, from Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana, great.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring them on the line here.
Okay,
you're connected.
How did you know 504 was Louisiana?
The technical age is a wonderful thing.
Oh, you Googled.
Yeah.
Did you Google? Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
See, I knew that just from going to Louisiana.
I'm not the psychic one, so I have to Google stuff, so yeah.
Well, it doesn't work.
I only remember the area codes where I lived or call all the time.
So, how are things in Louisiana?
It's cold, strangely enough.
Really?
Yeah, we do have winter here, and sometimes we actually feel it.
You get a little break from the humidity?
No,
well, what is
so
your name?
Humid.
Oh, okay.
I'm Mary Lou, and I'm in New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay, good place to be. We're a relatively new show, although I've been doing this a long time, and I'm just trying things out here on Blog Talk Radio. So welcome to what I call our beta podcast, because we're working out the kinks as we go. So what can I help you with? How can I be of service, and what's your question tonight?
Well, I really listening to every word you said. In fact, I'm sitting here taking notes. It's like I understand the secret and the law of attraction, blah, 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 but I obviously am missing something because I've been trying to manifest abundance. Did the whole divorce thing like you're going through, and I'm much further down the road, and it's like, really? I'm not further along than this? I feel like I should be further along than this. So,
Yeah. I get you. So this is really about when is it going to get better, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I just not only is it when is it going to get better, but is anything going to block me from continually working on it? Am I going to get to the part where I have to just give up? Because I don't really have that in my DNA at the moment.
Okay.
Giving up doesn't feel like an option.
Giving up. Okay, so are you in a divorce or you are possibly in a divorce?
I'm 8 years past it.
Oh, I see. So what is it that you aren't giving up then?
I'm trying to get abundance flowing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The whole being a single parent thing is kind of like not all that easy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, all right, let me, your energy level is really low. That's the first thing that concerns me. And when we have low energy, we need to raise our vibration. So as we're sitting here and, you know, I was having a hard time connecting with you for a minute. And now something just kind of kicked in here. And what I would say is that I feel a sense that you're just so tired and that you're not taking care of yourself in this because you're wanting things. Okay. So you're wanting things to change without really, and this isn't going to sound exactly the right way. When you are making an effort for things to change, do you actively do things or, and part of that means like you can have your visualization, you can have your spiritual prayer, you know, you can do all these things, but when you go out into the world, are you doing things to put things in motion for yourself?
Let's put it like this. I get up, I sit down at the computer, I go to work, I push it until I pick up the kids. I take care of the kids, I put them to bed, I go back to work, I stay up late, I get up in the morning and I repeat. I don't look outside the box. I have my blindfolders on.
All right.
I work.
You just said
and
it.
Then and I'm tired, but I shouldn't be because I'm sleeping enough and I'm eating right.
Okay.
I probably should exercise and get away from the computer, but I'm checking things off the list. And the list is long, and I got a long way to go.
Okay. First of all, and let me just tell you, I am a type A intuitive because I love a list. Don't get me wrong. I love checking things off the list. It creates an endorphin release. I love it. But here's what I'm going to say with you, which is a little counterintuitive. You got to throw the I know this is going to be hard, but you have to not focus on the list so much. I know that you're very organized and, you know, the kids come first. But you said a couple things that are really the telling things about what's really happened with you. And one is you don't go out of the box. You aren't exercising. And that's super, super important. I can't tell you how many of my co-psychic people, we talk about this all the time. Sometimes psychics get a bad reputation for being kind of heavy because, you know, we absorb a lot of things, or, you know, we're protecting ourselves, or blah, 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 blah. You know, listen, I was raised as a, you know, a short, stocky Irish, we're not thin people, but I love to exercise. And, you know, there's a weight that I can get to that's healthy for me. And so it's important to me to do those type of things. And when I focus on that, I notice that everything else in my life becomes lighter too. You have such a low energy right now because you're not doing anything for yourself. And I know you're afraid to do something for yourself because you're just trying to hold it together. But sometimes you got to kind of let some things fall a little bit. And I promise you, if you take an hour for yourself, even once a day, to go do something, you'll begin to see some shifts. When we don't make a change from what we're doing, we will not be able to shift at all. So even the most minimal shift will bring about something for you. And so because you mentioned exercise, I would say that's probably where you need to start. It sounds like from what you just said that you're, you know, probably in decent average shape. Would you say you don't have a weight issue, correct?
I have a little bit of a weight issue because I'm spending too much time in front of the computer and have for years. And, yeah, I could use some exercise. But I'm afraid to take the time away from getting any work done, so I tend to block it out.
Right. Totally get that. I totally feel that for myself. I know a lot of people, you know, can have the same fear and issue around that. So what I would say is, because that's what you fear the most, that's what you have to do. That's the jump I'm talking about. And when, you know, one of the things I say to people when they, you know, want to, you know, find a significant other or something, because I will tell you that I do have a sense that there is another relationship that will come into your life, but you're not making yourself available to that. And I know you may not believe that, but it is true. Do you want a relationship at some point? Okay. So you're
moving.
Okay. And have you dated at all?
Have I dated?
Since your divorce.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the noise.
Have you dated since your divorce?
I have tried to date since my divorce, and it seems like I could write a book of comedy of really, really bad dates. Yeah, I'm pretty of it.
Okay, so everything
I can make a great comedy routine out of it. Absolutely.
You are funny, right? That's one of the things your friends like about you, correct?
That I'm what?
That you're very funny.
Well, thank you.
No, do you consider yourself funny?
Not necessarily.
Well, okay. I think that there's a much more lighthearted person within you. And as we talk, the more we talk, you're talking a little faster, you sound lighter, and you're laughing, and you're making funny. So what I would say is, one, you got to exercise. Two, anything that you fear doing, that's exactly where you need to go. And then as far as the dating goes, my personal feeling with dating is, are you doing online stuff?
I have a little bit, but, you know, if you're somewhat intuitive and you can feel people's energy, you don't need to waste a whole lot of time dating.
I agree. I absolutely, in fact, that's exactly what I was going to say to you, is that I think you need to be in places where you can call things into you. You need to be in places where people can talk to you. And if you're, you know,
hang on, there's so much energy. There's so much friction coming across the line at the moment, it's hard to make out what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is somebody moving? Okay, that's clear.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on. Jamie, sometimes when the cords are our microphone cords, we have to be careful. We don't even notice sometimes when they're moving. All right. So what I'm going to say is it's hard sometimes to find that right person if you're stuck in a routine and you aren't in places where people can find you. So it's not like the secret in the sense of, like, I'm going to keep dreaming of this guy and he's going to show up. It's like, you know, whether you go to church, whether you go out with a friend, got to be out in places for that to happen. But I absolutely, totally agree with you. And the fact that you said that, that I think that I say this too, that a lot of people who call into the shows are pretty naturally intuitive themselves. And a lot of times we're just validating what they're kind of thinking anyway. So, you know, this, I think what's really important is that if you take the steps that you've been taking notes on and try not to be so hard on yourself and remember these things, so that you can, you know, when you get in that down place, you know, that you can, you know, pick yourself up again. But I think for you, for the most part, is you're going to have to really do the things that are going to break with your routine, that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you fearful. And I think anything that when you feel that fear, that you go to it, have an acknowledgement and awareness about it and do it anyway, I think that's when you're going to see the biggest shifts for you. But I do see a relationship coming into your life. I see that, and I think that and I don't like to give timelines because I don't believe that time really exists in any other planes and stuff like that. But I think within a year or so, I think you could be in a relationship if you can start working on shifting these other things and bring your vibration up, because people are really attracted to, you know, high energy people. And if you're sleeping enough, like you said, it's really, do you feel that you're mildly depressed?
Do I feel like I'm depressed?
Do you feel like you're mildly depressed?
I'm not even slightly depressed.
Okay, that's good. But so you feel like you're on point. It's really then just really about you getting out of your routine. Do you agree with that?
I'm trying to make sense out of the static.
Yeah, I think it might be your connection, Allison.
My connection?
I think so.
Yeah, you're clear. She's okay. She's a little static.
Hold on a second. Hello? Is that better?
No. No, it still sounds the same. It's almost like a hiccup, like a strange noise.
Just like noise, like white noise, and trying to make out the sound through white noise.
Okay, so that's not any better.
Yeah, but for me, it's only happening when you speak, Allison. I'm not getting any background noise. Just when you speak, it's got a lot of interference in it.
Well, garbage. Okay. I don't know what to do because I don't have a different microphone right now. darn it.
Do you want to try mine? We can swap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Okay. Is that better? Hello?
Yes. Listening.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Do you hear this? Is the static better?
No, it's still there.
That still sounds terrible.
But I understood what you said.
Well, okay. Well, I think what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to hang up and then dial back in and see if I can get a different line. But anyway, Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. That's much better.
Okay, I'm actually just going through the my webcam microphone at this point. So, okay. So, could you hear it all static too when I was talking?
Yeah, it was quite annoying. Technical difficulties, and I wasn't moving. I was standing really, really still. So it must have been the connection or something happened. But it was weird because it was fine at first, but then it just started getting bad.
Okay. All right. well, if anybody out there is listening to beta version 2 of our show and want to call in and ask a question, we're going to be here for a few more minutes, and we're going to chalk this experiment up to I don't even know what. And so that call, what was her name? Mary Lou?
Mary Lou. Mary Lou.
Mary Lou. All right. So, yeah, I think Mary Lou's situation is a very common thing. People go through, divorces are pretty traumatic and stuff, and then figuring out how do I, move on from this. And so when we live in, that kind of isolation and get ourselves in a routine, and she's had like a very powerful woman. And I do think she'll, figure things out for herself and kind of move forward. But also, abundance in terms of when things come, we have no control over the timing, and that's the hardest part of it. But if we're in motion, then we have a better chance. If we're doing the same thing over and over again and we're not seeing a shift, we need to do something else. And those are simple things that we can just try and test as we go. Was there anything that you heard in the call that you thought was interesting?
I guess it's interesting to me, and I think more people have this problem than we probably realize as a society. But I think people get stuck in a rut where they have the routine and they're really invested in that routine, and any kind of change from that routine really can make people anxious. Mary Lou's example is she didn't want to miss time with work. It sounds like she's spending an awful lot of time with work. So I'm not sure what her job was. We didn't get to that part. But, it's hard to take time away. But if you don't take that time away for yourself, like you said, then you stay in the rut. Your motion, you're moving forward, the same routine, to break out of that routine a little bit. Like she said, she had her blinders on. She didn't see outside the box. And if you don't change your motion, I think that's part of it too, is not just moving, but maybe moving in a different way, in a different positive manner for you, I think is more helpful.
Right. I agree.
And it's hard to do. Once you're stuck in a rut and you're afraid to change, I mean, we as a species, humans are most part really afraid of changing. Even though we want things to change, it's a hard thing to do.
I was actually reading not too long ago about on Oprah's site where she's talking about, you have to feel connected to something and not alone. And that's a hard thing, that we can all feel isolated and, to give up all sense of separateness. And despite how something may feel in the moment, that you are not a separate self, you're not an island, we're never alone. And, when we let go of the thought of separateness, so, I think Albert Einstein described it as an optical delusion. Our perception change when our perception changes these things, so does our whole experience of the world. So if we were lost, we have to believe that these periods of grace that happen in our life, are always at hand and inspiration is there. And, that there's a lot of help and support for us, but it just doesn't feel like it. So when we do the same thing and nothing's changing, we got to try something else. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to be in a period of grace?
I've heard it, but I'm not certain what it does mean.
Well, we go through our life, and no matter how rich and abundant we are in life, we all go through challenges in our life. And when we go past these challenges and we learn from these challenges, oftentimes we enter in the period of grace. And grace means that for no other reason that you're just blessed in a way that you don't have a lot of problems, you don't have a lot of crisis in your life, you're not in some catastrophic event. You know, things just seem to be easier and lighter in your life, and it's a lot more fun and easy to kind of kick back and just enjoy life. And we may see other people going through crisis and stuff, but it doesn't have the same impact on us because we're in that period of grace. And I have known in my own life that I've gone through periods of great strife and struggle, particularly in my childhood. And I felt like, and I know this sounds funny because a lot of people hated their high school experience, and I didn't love it or hate it, but I felt like I was in a period of grace between high school and college because I had gone through a lot in a much younger age. And then as we get older and we go through different trials, you know, and the level of trial we go through are varying degrees, and some of them are very, very difficult, and some of them are just kind of like, oh well, you know, this sucks, but you know, okay, I can get past this. So when we go through, you know, these periods of trying to bring abundance to us, we're usually not in that period of grace because we're trying to get back to that period of grace where we feel more abundant in our life. And that's really, to me, kind of the same thing. So I like, you know, remembering this about, you know, we have to remember we're not alone. And sometimes it can feel that way, and especially if you're a single mother or a single parent, or you're divorced and you're just on your own. We're never really alone. It may feel that way because what's familiar to us is no longer available to us, but we really don't have to stay in that place. So, well, it's almost 10 o'clock. My voice is slowly going out. I would say that if there's anybody who's hanging out there in the weeds, wondering whether or not they should or should call in, this would be the time to do it because we're going to wrap things up here and call this a beta number two, another episode I don't know if I'd call it successful. I would call it, I appreciate talking to people, and I always like learning these things if for no other reason myself. But the purpose is to be in service and help somebody. And if nobody's calling in, then we'll be back here another night. We are going to come up with a regular routine. We're just playing around with, you know, different times of what would be the best time to have the show to appeal to a wider audience. So, and if she was in Louisiana at 9 o'clock, that was midnight. So, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, she's burning the midnight oil.
She's burning the midnight oil, as they do in New Orleans. Nolens.
Nolens.
Sorry, that was my bad Louisiana accent. I'm a California girl, what can I say? All right. Okay, so I guess we're going to sign off for now. Thanks for anybody who has happened to listen. Thank Mary Lou for calling in, and we're going to continue to build on this and get past all these technical glitches and difficulties and be back soon. So check our page for our upcoming shows, which we're still trying to figure out when there's going to be. Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.